This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Mom and Dickie.
Father, we have come with open hearts, indeed, before you. Let the ancient word impact. Impact our hearts, impact our spirit, impact the way we live, impact everything about us. Because we know there is power in your word. That is our earnest prayer and earnest desire this afternoon. Take your liberty, Holy Spirit. This is your hour. We quieten our hearts before you. And we ask that you help us. Help us this afternoon. Open up our eyes to see the mysteries hidden in your word, the ancient word, so that it will have its perfect place in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. Welcome to Hanjoy International Christian Fellowship, your home away from home, like our special welcome says. I'd like to welcome you to church again. And on behalf of the pastor and the leaders, I just want you to know that God is mindful of you. And he has brought you here for the city, to the city of Hanjoy, for his purpose. And we believe that each one of us that is here has an assignment from God to accomplish his purpose in the city of Hanjoy. And so if you are here, is that okay, media? Okay, am I loud and clear? There's something about me and mics. We just don't go together. Amen. Yeah. So I just encourage you to, thank you. I just encourage you to just stay sensitive. Each time you come to church, stay sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants from you for that moment, or has for you for that moment, for that day. Not just in church, but any of the meetings, the midweek services is online. You can attend that. Be sensitive always, because God is intentional about bringing you and I to the city of Hanjoy, so that you don't miss those specific things, those specific assignments that he wants for us to do, he wants us to do for him here in the city of Hanjoy. Amen. I bring you greetings from the shepherd of this house who is away. Travel safely, and thank you for your prayers and your encouragement and your support in different ways. And we bless God for travel mercies and his home. And he's seen his aged mother. It was an emotional moment. And when we watched the clip, he hasn't seen her for such a long time, and his 97-year-old mother. And and also to lay to rest the body of his older sister, who's been called home to glory. Amen. So we continue to pray for his safe return, and also the people who travel. A lot of people travel from other parts of the world and other parts of the country for the funeral. We're going to pray for travel mercies for them as they return back to their station, and as we receive him back when he returns as well. Amen. So we want to appreciate all of you. And we thank God for the privilege of also sharing this pulpit with him, the man of God, whom God has called. And we are privileged each time we are opportune to share this pulpit. We don't take it for granted. So I want to thank God for that. Amen. Without much ado, I will just go right into our sermon for today. And the sermon today is entitled The Showroom Believer. I believe at one point in time, you might have visited a certain showroom. It could be of any product, but particularly for the purpose of illustration for this discourse today, I would like us to just envision a luxury car showroom. Amen. Media, thank you. Can we just show media some love? Amen. Media and all the instrumentalists, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You see, when you... let me just get my notes here. Amen. Amen. So when you walk into a showroom, in this case, a luxury car showroom, and what you notice is the display. You probably have seen fancier ones than this, and it's sometimes the display can be really bizarre and, you know, very flashy, and then the lights and all the display. Everything is put in such a strategic position such that it captures the beauty of that luxury car. And the display, the lights are positioned in a certain way. Even the vehicles are tilted at an angle that kind of captures your attention as soon as you walk into that place. And the moment you step into such places, or even if you are just passing by that place, right? In some malls here in Hangzhou, when you walk into the lobby of the malls, you could find some of this display of these cars, these beautiful cars. And in places like Dubai, or the places right there at the airport, you see fancy cars and luxury cars being displayed, you know. And immediately you look at one of those cars or one of those showrooms, the first thing that comes into your mind is you begin to imagine yourself driving one of those. Isn't that true? You immediately begin to imagine yourself driving one of those. And sometimes you even find yourself going into one of those vehicles and sitting down, taking a little selfie for your Instagram. And yes, and you just look good in it. Because rightly so, it captures the attention. And that's what it is meant for anyway, to just capture your attention. And sometimes some of these vehicles most of the times, not just sometimes, they do have the specifications and the functions and the specifications of this vehicle written beside it, right on the stand, or sometimes right on the windscreen, and you can just look at it and see, oh, it can do this, it can do that, it's self-drive, it's that and that. And all the specifications are written there. And you are really excited about what this car can do. And maybe you walk away thinking, I'm going to save to buy that car. Now, I want that. But one thing the Holy Spirit just brought to mind when I was thinking of this luxury car is the fact that the showroom scenario is really not a real life scenario. It's just a display. It's just a display. And so sometimes a lot of us believers tend to leave our Christian life and our walk of faith with the Lord as though we are a display in the showroom. Next slide, please. That is sad. That there is, we sit there as a display, just like this vehicles, with all their capability, with all the power they have, the engines, the specification of the engine, and the durability of some of the materials that were used that were really indicated in all the specification. And they are expensive and impressive. But yet, that power is never really being seen in action because all they do is just sit there in the showroom. And showroom is a place where, you know, you can easily be captivate people's attention. People's mind can be captivated by those showroom display. But all that just stays in the showroom. And until someone comes and take one of these vehicles and drive them out into the road, into the street, and actually test the speed limit and all the functionality that it says it can do, it would just be a piece of display in the showroom. And like believers, unless you and I are tested and proven and stood the test of time as believers, unless you and I have moved away from that showroom platform that we are so accustomed to in this our modern day Christianity, a modern day believer setup, we will just end up being like that display vehicle in the showroom. Convenience to act like a believer, feel like a believer, sound like a believer, talk like a believer. But really, not have Jesus, Him crucified in our hearts. If our experience of work of faith or work with Jesus is only limited to the physical display of the beauty and the nice singing and the nice church or church attendance, if those are the limits of our experience of work with God, then we are nothing but a showroom believer. I would just quickly look at two or three points that highlights the attributes of a showroom believer as expounded in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen? A lot of you that probably heard me speak before, I believe there's a place for theology. I love theology. But I just believe in the simplicity of the Word of God. And sometimes, quite often, frankly, the Lord just brings this the truth of His Word to me through this simple analogy and the simplicity of His Word. And I like to take it that way. Amen. And so the first attribute I would like us to look at is The showroom believer looks good on the outside. The showroom believer looks good on the outside. Anything that will give a picture that I am a Christian, that I am holy, that I am righteous on the outside, I'm willing to do it. That is carrying a big Bible or maybe a small one like mine. Coming to church constantly, that's very good, by the way. You should come to church. You should worship with other believers, attending Bible studies and cell group meetings, rightly so. And especially when we come to church and then we have this purified language, the purified believer's language. God bless you. Oh, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, almost spontaneously, there were sometimes I say hello to some people and spontaneously they just respond back, amen. And I'm like, I just said hello. And you say, amen. But just purify church language. And sometimes some people were called to just, you know, maybe pray for the offering. And they'll begin to expound from how God created Adam and Eve in Genesis, and then how John saw the revelation on Mount Patmos. Just want to look spiritual. And they say, shall we pray? Or just, honey, just come and read the scripture. And you begin to pray. You're speaking in tongues. Honey, you were just asked to read a scripture. Yeah, because it makes you look spiritual on the outside. And a lot of us are just comfortable with that. We're just so comfortable with that look. Okay, we just look good on the outside. But on the inside, it's something else. But unfortunately, that's not what Jesus emphasize. That's not what scriptures emphasize. Some of our readings for today were very direct to the point. And in fact, Jesus during his time when he was speaking, he didn't use nice words when he was referring to these Pharisees. And he said, you know, you are like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you are full of dead bones. In other words, when the light goes off, when the showroom doors are closed and the lights are turned off, what are you made of? When you go back to your dorms or you go back to your apartment, what do you watch? What do you listen to? When we meet you out in the street, what is your language like? What is your dressing like? On a random day and I just come across you at a friend's birthday party, what are you wearing? But on Sunday, you could come to church with church girl outfit. It's all covered up. All covered up. But if I should see you down there at an event somewhere, because the display lights are off, what do you look like? How is your attitude to fellow believers and to non-believers outside of the church, outside of the church building? Do they see the goodness of Christ in you? Do you minister in grace to people that are hurting? When you see a brother or a sister that is going hungry, and you come in your secret and share the little you have and go minister to her and pray and encourage her, or pray and encourage him, when no one sees but God, that is the kind of believers that God is looking for. Not looking good on the outside. Now, a lot of us, you're like, yeah, these things are, they are just, isn't it good? Aren't they just normal part of Christian life? Yes, they are. By all means. By all means, you should dress well to church. By all means, you should come to church. By all means, you should pray. By all means. But if that is the essence of your faith in the Lord Jesus, then your love for God is questionable. And incidentally, we've had series of teachings in the last couple weeks by the shepherd of this house regarding love. Both God's love and our love for him, or how we should respond to his kind of love. If that is all that is your faith in the Lord reflects, just what we see on the surface, then you are of all men most miserable, because you are nothing but like a painted house. Painted house that is freshly painted on the outside, and maybe have even some flowers on the lawns and nicely mown lawns and nice gates, freshly painted, looking beautiful. But when we walk into this house, the plumbing is broken. The lights don't work. In fact, if you look close enough, you could see cracks on the wall because the structure is giving way. When Jesus walks into your house, beyond the showroom, will he see cracks in the interior? Are the plumbing working? Is the electricity running? Is everything in place? Is it clean? Or is it just the paint outside? We live in a dispensation where we ourselves live this showroom life, and that is the kind of faith that we offer to the world. Come to Jesus so that you could look good. Come to Jesus so that he can bless you. Come to Jesus so that you can get miracles. Come to Jesus so that you can get healing. It's all the physical things, outward things. That's what we sell to the world. And because that's what we ourselves project to the world. Are you a showroom believer? Are you a showroom believer? Unless your heart is transformed, unless your heart is being touched by the power of the Lord Jesus, has been transformed and regenerated, and what comes out from you, from within you, the Bible says, out of you shall flow springs of living water, until the spring that is within you overflows with living water. Not just an outward display, but from a heart that's been transformed. A spirit that has encountered the transforming power of Jesus. Amen. God is not looking for performance. He's not looking for our performance because we're actually good in it to come and perform. And that's why when people come to church, you can easily get lost in performance. Because when people stand on the stage, you know, and if you are an audience in some show or whatever event, a concert or whatever, you are keen on trying to scrutinize the performance. Yeah. Oh, that one missed the note. Oh, that one didn't sing well. No. Oh, did you see his dress? Did you hear what he said? Because you look at it as a performance encounter. But if it is a transformational encounter, when you come, you don't care what the next person is wearing, whether they lift up their hands or not, whether they said amen or not. You are here to worship God. And your heart is set on one thing and one thing only, God. You just want to hear what word he has for you. You want to hear what is he speaking to you through the songs. You are sensitive. How can you impact any other life? That is a life that has been touched by the transformative power of Jesus. Amen. The next attribute of a showroom believer is that a showroom believer avoids the cost of obedience. The showroom believer avoids the cost of obedience. Because a believer, a true disciple of Jesus, is the one whose heart is after doing the will of God. After his heart is after obeying God's word. He is set on one thing and one thing only. The will of God. To surrender to God's will. To sacrifice his control. Give up control. Sacrifice. Obey the Lord. Regardless whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. And dependence on God and his will and the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, Jesus was talking in Mark 10. He was talking to this young ruler. The young ruler desperately needs salvation. At least he acknowledged he needs salvation. And that was why he came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And he said, "This and that, I've done that. Serving in church, I've done that. You give offerings, and I've done that. Do you help a brother? I've done that. Do you sing in the band? I've done that. Do you pray twice a day? I've done that, in the morning and in the evening. I'm even a member of the HICF intercessors. I've done that. Check the list." And Jesus said to him the one thing that he never expected Jesus to say, and the one place that he never expected Jesus to go through, the seat of his heart. The seat of his heart. How many of you know that that is where Jesus always touches? The seat of your heart. And that's why in Samuel, he says, he sees not as man sees. He sees the deepest thing within you because he knows what is in a man. And he goes to the seat of that young man's heart. And he knows that what is enthroned in his heart is his wealth and what he has amassed for himself. And Jesus said, sell all of those and follow me. And scripture records that that man walked away sad. He walked away sad. He wanted salvation, but he does not want to surrender. And a lot of us want salvation, but we don't want surrender. We want God to intervene in certain situation in our lives, but we do not want to surrender control to him. We want to run it our own way. We want to run it by our own wisdom and at least our own strategies and idea. But we want God to intervene. And if we need him to step in, we need to relinquish control so that he can take charge. So that he will do with that situation what he wants to do with it. But that young ruler said, no. And thinking of a practical example, in the beginning of the year, a lot of us who want to lose weight or who want to keep fit, the beginning of the year is always a good place to start. To start our weight loss journey or our fitness journey. And then we go by membership, a gym membership. And back in the days when these gym memberships come in cards, physical cards, you buy your gym membership card and you carry it around. And in fact, when you are with friends, you will intentionally forget it on a table so that they can, oh, who's this? Oh, it's mine. It's my gym card. As a show. But nowadays they come in electronic whatever, right? You have it in your devices. But you buy this gym membership and you buy the shoes, the gym shoes, the fancy trainers and whatever. And you buy the gym bag and those cute, fancy, like my daughter would say, aesthetic water bottles. You buy them. And you get everything ready. But you know what? You never go to the gym. You never. Oh, okay, fair enough. In the beginning of the year, you know, we're motivated, highly motivated. And so you go. The first week of the year, you go. You go. And you come back. Your arms are aching. Probably you lifted a little weight and fair enough. The next week you're like, I'll skip this week. And then the next week. So in the first month in January, it was good. You were there twice in January. And this membership, bear in mind, is probably a whole year membership. Or maybe a whole month membership. But you were there twice. And by the time February comes around, you're like, okay, I will go. I will go with my friend. Yeah. So you wait for a friend, and then somehow you made it once in February. And then March, you know, each time I go to the gym, I get sore arms. My arms get so sore. Maybe that weightlifting thing is not for me. Maybe that gym thing is really, it's not a thing to be done every week, or at least not, maybe once a month. Oh, and then you say, okay, once in a quarter, I will go. You want a good body. You want to shape up and live healthy lifestyle and everything, but you don't want to pay the cost of going to the gym daily and being committed daily and sacrificing your time, sacrificing maybe even your meals, your favorite meals, maybe ice cream and all those things that, you know, impact on your health and the weight loss thing. Maybe you're not going to do that. You're not willing to do that because you feel it's just a cost that's too much. Oh, no. Each time I go to the gym, it just takes so much of my time. I realize I just spend too much time in the gym. Well, because in the first place, all you did was a show. You bought the gym bag, you bought the shoes, you bought the gym membership. It was only a show. A showroom believer. We know when you join that ministry, the intention wasn't really to serve. The intention was that so that you can belong to a ministry. And one day anybody says, is anybody in the cleaning team? Yes. Is anybody in the worship? Yes. I am in 3 ministries. It sounds good, right? But was it really? And when they said, the ministry is having a meeting today. Today we're going to meet at such and such a place. And then you're like, this ministry thing, really, you know, is an hour subway ride to church. I can't always just be going to ministry meetings. They want us to do this. Because in the first place, honey, when you joined that ministry, it wasn't out of a genuine conviction of recognizing that God wants you to serve Him in that direction. It was because you wanted to be recognized. You wanted to be applauded by people. You wanted to be seen by the pastor. It was a showroom display. You weren't willing to pay the price of sacrifice and diligence and commitment and letting go of control and letting the Holy Spirit take the lead in your relationship. You don't want to let go of that guy. You don't want to let go of that girl. Even though you are asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm trusting you for the choice of a life partner. You choose for me. And you want to sound so spiritual. I'm trusting God will choose the right woman for me. I hear some of my dudes tell me that. Mom, I've been praying and waiting on God to show me the right woman for me. It sounds so spiritual. It sounds good. But you are busy. You are the one busy trying to check, which girl looks pretty? Which one has dark skin and fair skin? Which one is my spec? If really you were praying for the Holy Spirit to choose for you, why don't wait on Him to choose for you? Why are you there every Sunday with a checklist and trying to see which of them is your spec? That's just to put it mildly. Amen. So we must be willing to pay the cost. And Jesus says, whoever wants to follow Him must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow Him. A lot of us want to follow Jesus, but we say, Jesus, I want to follow You, but the cross is too heavy. One interesting thing is that Jesus' invitation acknowledges that your cross might be heavy. And that's why He says, pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Me. And then when He says, follow Me, He now went ahead and said, you come unto Me, all those who are burdened and are heavy loaded. He knows your cross is a burden, right? It's heavy. He says, bring it to Me And I will exchange it with my yoke. My yoke is easy. Amen? His yoke is easy. And even when it doesn't seem easy for us, His grace will be sufficient for us to carry it in such a way that it does not burden us. Amen? So, the showroom believer avoids the cost of obedience. The next one, the showroom believer never leaves the display floor. The display floor is where those showroom cars stay. They are just meant for that place and they remain there. They just don't want to leave that place. Because if you take those sparkling cars and with those shiny wheels and drive them on the street, they're going to get dirty. So the best place for them to be is to stay where they don't get dirty. Stay in the showroom. And so long as they stay in the showroom, their power is never maximized. And every morning they just come, those cleaners and those staff in the showroom will come and give them a good shine and a good wipe. And they just polish them, make sure they are in place and everything is just perfectly aligned. Never leave the showroom. Ask your neighbor, are you a showroom believer? Just don't want to go out of the bubbles. Always remaining there. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. The parable that Jesus gave of the Good Samaritan. Really depicts how religious we can be in our physical acts of faith and acts of service to God. Let me qualify it so that we can feel good about ourselves. Acts of service to God. The priest was probably on his way to go and maybe conduct some sacrifice or whatever it is, or lead a church service or whatever. And that is important. That's important. That's the showroom. If he stayed there in that desert road where there is no one, nobody to give him accolades or to acknowledge his act of service in that desert road, just him and that man who was beaten up by the robbers, that traveler. How will he be praised? How will they know that he's such a kind man? No, that's not a place for him. His place is there in the temple where people are gathered, where he will stand on the pulpit and everyone will see him. The same with the rabbi. That's where people will see him. So long as you clean the church, yeah, where pastors will see you, people will see you. When you do it on the stage, yeah, that's the showroom. That's a place of display. But out there in the street, out there on the subway, when no one knows you, when you are in the middle of probably a million Chinese people, and no one sees your attitude, do you curse? Do you swear? Are you radiating the love of Jesus? Are you living out the life of a believer by your actions? The showroom believer never want to leave the showroom. They always just want to stay in the showroom because that's the place of display. That's the place that attracts attention. That's the place. Now, I'm not against miracles in any way. But unfortunately, when I look around in some of the mega churches, I see a lot of just display, just want to stay there in those display showrooms so we can display some miracles, the real, the fake, and anything in between, because it's a place of display. And we can easily be caught up with that. We never want to leave the showroom. We just want to stay there in the showroom. It's just like a firefighter. That has all his fire protection and everything. And he needs to use it in times of fire to rescue people. But when he is getting this emergency call, this distress call through his phone or the intercom or whatever, he just sits there all dressed up in his suit, firefighter suit, and he's just staying there with his cross leg. You're a firefighter. Your job is to go rescue people. And there's a fire. But no, you just don't want to leave the showroom, the fire station. That you just want to be there. But that's not what we see here. That's not what Jesus says. And no wonder Jesus, again and again and again, he addressed these issues and he used strong words. And he says, you know, if you want to follow me, you must give up your right. You must deny yourself. You must leave the place of your comfort zone. You must step into the place where I'm leading you. You must step into those places that you might not be comfortable with. You must step out in faith. When I tell you to do something, you must learn to trust me and leave that display place and just lean on me. Rely on my grace and my strength, because I measure your faith not through what you do on the showroom and at the display place, but I measure it by the authenticity of your heart and your love for me. Are you a showroom believer? God is looking for true disciples. He's not looking for people who are just perfect, without flaws, or people who are good at display, who are good in physical service, or church attendance, or tongue speaking, or praying with their mouths. How many of you know that prayer goes beyond the utterances of our mouth? Prayer is born from our heart. God is looking beyond that. He's looking right through for a heart that seeks him. A heart that is willing and seeking to be transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit. is looking for people that will say yes to him. People that will love him and love others. People that will say, yes, Lord, I am weak, but you are my strength. People that will say, yes, Lord, I might have lost it. I might have faltered. But Lord, I'm coming back to you. I know you can fix me. I know you can use me again. He's looking for true disciples. And a true disciple, it's like those artifacts you see in a museum. You ever walk into a museum? And in some museum, you actually see them depicting certain scenes, old scenes, and try to make them come alive as much as possible. I think the Oriental Pearl Tower in Shanghai, I think at the basement or the ground floor, there is a museum. Things change, and I haven't been there for a while now. But when we used to go to Shanghai very often, that was usually one of my fun places to be. And you walk in that museum, and they try to reenact the city, the old city of Shanghai, and you could actually hear the conversations, the chattering of people as you walk through, and you know, the money changers and people's, the hawkers and things like that. But when you walk into a museum, generally you see some artifacts that were not completely whole, some are broken, some still have the crack. And those that have been restored, you could even tell that the restoration was not quite well done, and they were trying to piece together. And some were still left with that broken pieces. And some were, maybe they were things that were retrieved from a sunken ship. But the interesting thing about the museum, in contrast to the car showroom, a luxury car showroom, is the fact that in the museum, every single thing has a story. It has a story. It stood the test of time. Some of them were rescued, like I said, probably from a sunken ship. Some of them were bitten and bruised, and maybe by the elements. Maybe your life is bruised and beaten by circumstances and situations of life. But like those artifacts in the museum, you still hold value as a believer. And that is a disciple that endures the test of time. A disciple that refused to compromise, even when situations were not favorable. You stood your ground on the word of God. You held on to the promises of God. You stood the test of time. Not just in the showroom. You were driven out in the desert. That car that was driven on the road, on the desert, on the mountain roads, and survived. Yes, it might not look so shiny. Yet it might not look so sparkling. Yet it might have some scratches here and there. Like Mom Ann's old Honda. Amen? It might have some scratches here and there. It might not look as fancy. It might not look as impressive. Your life physically might not look as impressive. You might not have it all together. Your grades might not be as impressive, but guess what? You refused to cheat. You stood the test of time. You insisted on reading and understanding. Even though you didn't get an A, but you got a B, and you didn't cheat for it. Amen? That's a believer that stood the test of time. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. That's the big question I want us to take home with us today. Are you a showroom believer or a road-tested disciple that have been tried and proved and tested? the two men who came to pray in the synagogue. And one prayed and said, you know, I am not like this tax collector. I give alms. I did this. I did that. But the other man said, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. I've fallen short of your glory. I know I have missed the mark many times. I know I have not served you as I should. I know I did not honor you as I should. I know my stewardship, even in HICF, it's not perfect. But I give it to you. I am surrendering to you. I am relinquishing control. Take my life completely. I'm dedicating it to you so that I will not just be a showroom believer. I will not just honor you and worship you just as a display, just for people to see, but that truly my heart, it will be born out of the transformative power that has touched my heart, that has rescued me from condemnation and has set my feet on a rock to stand. Trusting on your love, that love that we've had about, that love that is eternal, that love that is perfect, that's complete. Shall we bow our heads and pray as I call on the worship ministry to come back up? This is our earnest heart desire. Just like the public scripture says, our public scripture readings were those prayers of our hearts. May we echo these words as the prayers of our hearts. That we may engage in worship with our spirit. Not just with our mouths. Because these are the kind of people that you seek for. Those who worship in truth and in spirit. We surrender our weaknesses to you. We surrender all that we are and all that we have to you. We are calling to you and saying, Lord, we want to be true disciples. Not just a showroom believer. From the depths of our hearts, we will love you. We will serve you with all that we are, all that we have. We will serve you beyond words. We will serve you beyond physical actions and performance. We will serve you beyond commitment in church. We will serve you